Dr. Thomas Epps from Central Virginia Family Physicians. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Every day in the news, we are hearing locally or regionally or statewide or nationally about the opioid crisis that seems to be gripping our region and our country. And so we thought we'd bring you in and get your thoughts on this as a physician in the area, a longtime physician. And we were talking about this a little bit before we went on the air, and you said that this started when the medical profession made a big mistake years ago. Explain that.
They didn't make a mistake. That was just the evolution of thought.
Okay.
Okay. And they,
at the time, it seemed like a good idea.
At the time, it seemed like a good idea that pain was the fifth vital sign and nobody should suffer from pain. And at the same time, the pharmaceutical companies figured out a way to deliver medicine in a prolonged way so that you only had to take medicines once or twice a day instead of taking them every 4 to 6 hours. Opioids have been around for a long, long time. But this was a way to try to help people because as we had people living longer, they were living with degenerative problems, in particular degenerative backs or other pain syndromes that people thought this was the right way to try to treat them. Unfortunately, that of the propensity to abuse any medicine is there. So people found out a ways around it. The drug companies responded and put things in the medicines to try to keep them from responding. That it just has been a snowball effect that gathered more and more of new notoriety because of the availability of narcotics. People would get on a pain medicine. About 1 out of 4 people are genetically prone to have of a very, very positive response to opioids. And therefore, it is a very easy thing for them to get addicted. They're the same people, basically, that get addicted to cigarettes, to alcohol, to food, as well as drugs. And so what happens is that with the availability of street drugs, that's where the problem really began to escalate, because with street drugs and heroin, and in particular with the semi-thin synthetic of opioids that last a lot longer and are much more powerful, and the new ones that have come out are more powerful than ever, you had people overdosing inadvertently because they didn't have any idea what was going on. So you had a town like Huntington, West Virginia, in which you had some bad stuff come in one weekend, and they had 24 people overdose in a weekend. And this is not nickel and dime overdosing. This is where you take multiple doses of Narcan, which is the drug used to reverse it, and in order to get them back. The problem is, if you got an addiction problem, people want to not give up their addiction, so they're back again, and they do it again and again and again. And so, you know, there are triggers that we all have that release things. In particular, a unique thing happened in the Commonwealth this year is that we had a public health problem, and the Assembly responded fast, like really fast. Like in March, they came out with new laws. They went through, passed them, the governor signed them to become active at the end of March of this year. I've never seen the Assembly take a public health issue and go as fast as they did with this one this year. And, you know, there are things that physicians have responded. If you look at the data from the health department that Marissa Levine, who heads the task force, of the number of opioid prescriptions have fallen in the state of those ones that are prescribed, but the number of people dying from opioid doses continued to skyrocket. So it's as much about abuse as it is about physicians doling out medicines that get people started.
And you mentioned this making, and I'm kind of going back to the first thing you said where you talk about making pain the fifth vital sign.
Right.
Was that when you would go in and they would ask, they would ask, what's your pain level right now on a scale of 1 to 10? Or was the little smiley face or the frowny face?
That is exactly right. And, you know, it's still used today.
It is still, okay. I was just thinking back to when I had kids, you know, years ago when I was right. having kids. And that's what they would say. And are you a smiley face or are you the really sad face? Because they had that. But they still use that today.
Yeah, depends on where you were in labor, whether you had a smiley face
right,
or the frowny
exactly,
face.
Right,
So, is this some level of self-diagnosis for people with pain? I mean, obviously pain, no one else can really tell how much pain you're in. But it seems if you say, oh, I'm frowny face, that doesn't seem like a great reason to hand you over a bottle of pills.
The way you perceive pain and the way I perceive pain right. may be entirely different. And that's one of the problems is now you're shoving everybody into the same square peg when they may be a round person trying to get into a square hole or vice versa. And so it is a very subjective world that we live in and how we deal with it. We're fortunate to have things that modulate pain pretty good. But there are some people that have been on these medicines for years, and by mandate now, we're having to do things that greatly increase the cost of what they do. Of people that have to have drug testing every 3 to 6 months, you might give them a year, but if you don't look at the prescription monitoring program, and if you're not doing drug testing, and if you don't have this long, elaborate note in the chart of why you continue to do this, even though it's been going on for years, that you're going to have somebody come in from the Board of Medicine potentially and smack your wrist pretty hard. I review malpractice cases, and of the last 6 I've done, 5 of them have been about opioids.
So how do you balance keeping people out of pain? I mean, you don't want people to suffer. You don't want them to be addicted. I mean, how do you work that out?
Well, that's a real toughie right now. Yeah. And I'll give you the they do allow physicians in the hospital to give up to 14 days of, you know, like if somebody comes in and breaks their arm, that kind of hurts a little bit, or in particular if you break a ankle or a femur, and they'll allow you to give of up to 14 days without going through a lot of elaborate stuff. But to go beyond that, especially if you don't heal well, that can be tough, and that then you have to go into a long list of things that you need to do every time you see somebody to make sure that this is not becoming a problem. And a part of this, laws get written because of experiences legislators have. So Delegate Bell from up in Loudoun County had a son who broke a femur, and he was given in retrospect, an inordinately large number of pain pills to help him with the break of that unlocked his addiction and has been a big problem since. And when a legislator has a problem, it becomes the strongest personal testimony. We're always dragging people up to the assembly to make our points. Well, when they have a point like that, it becomes incredibly powerful for laws to get written promptly and quickly.
So, I mean, has the pendulum swung back too far the other way? Is there too much regulation, too much restriction on prescribing opioids now when maybe it was too lax before?
I do believe that probably they're erring on the side of strangulating those that prescribe them. While a lot of the problem with opioid deaths are people that are choosing to use narcotics in a voluntary fashion to enjoy. Those medicines are incredibly seductive they don't kill you when you withdraw, but what they do is you feel really bad when you withdraw, and that it's tough. You know, we've had to tighten up what we do in our office of people come in and give unbelievably compelling stories of sometimes records from other physicians that have been able to do it. There are certain areas of the state where obtaining narcotic prescriptions were very, very easy because that was a part of the culture of what people did. And that's how Southwest Virginia got its name. There are certain places that amphetamines are the drug of choice. It's the narcotics is what the state is dealing with right now.
Speaking with Dr. Thomas Epps, Central Virginia Family Physicians, and something we've heard about, I think Mary mentioned this last week, do you find that you have patients for whom you're going to prescribe an opioid who might ask, hey, could I try something else first? Just because of what we've seen in the news, as far as how many people are addicted and how dangerous they are if you take too much of them?
That's a great question. It's my responsibility as a physician to not use opioids first unless there is an acute need. If somebody comes in with a kidney stone, I am not going to sit there and say, oh, we're going to try this milder stuff first. Because right. If you've ever had a kidney stone, it feels like the world's coming to an end. But for somebody that comes in with chronic back pain, I will go through multiple steps of multiple different things and trying to avoid the narcotic prescription. And then you get into a point that if you do give a narcotic prescription, you put big restrictions on them and that about how they are to use them, when they are to use them, how they have to be tested, all that stuff.
You mentioned that medicine has responded in the way that you all are very careful about what you're prescribing and to whom and how much and that kind of thing. But you said the market has not. Are these folks who die from the overdoses, those overdoses are not what the doctor has given them. Those are stuff they're getting on the street. Is
invariably,
that right?
That's the correction. Okay. It is the street that's where it happens. And I would hope that all physicians have responded. The Board of Medicine is supposed to monitor people in this day of electronic prescribing. They should be able to do it. But there are ways around electronic prescribing. It's tougher. But I think the vast majority of physicians are very conscious about doing the right thing for their patients and not unlocking a potential of a future of being hooked on something or unlocking Pandora's box, so to speak.
Are addicts able to function normally in society, and that you just, it could be your coworker working next to you and you have no idea that they're addicted to these opioids?
You would be absolutely flabbergasted at how functional people can be and highly addicted at the same time.
Wow. So they can come into your office and make a very compelling case, and you have to. And then I read a story, like I say, there's stories every day, some new angle, that nowadays you have to worry, this person might very much be in pain and need the opioids, but you have to worry about whether any family members now could get a hold of the medicine as well. There's so many different little tentacles.
So many little angles. Uh-huh. And as we begin to become real strict about drug testing and that type of thing, it was amazing some of the things that we unearthed. You know, the guy that comes in with chronic pain, I hurt, and his urine test was positive for cocaine and marijuana. You begin to sit there. You know, it's really interesting. We've carried it a little bit further in our office, and which of kids that are using medicines for concentration, like Ritalin and Adderall, we started drug testing those, and that you'd be surprised the number of teenagers that are smoking dope, but then want to take something that helps them concentrate a little bit better.
Well, then, yeah, lay off the first. You might not have the problem.
You got it exactly right. It's, you know, it is. It's really distressing, but regrettably true.
Is that news to their parents?
Yes.
It is. Okay. But
many times, yes.
Okay. Wow, that will be another topic altogether. And what do you, when the kids say, I want something to help me focus really hard on this upcoming assignment that I have. I mean, what do you say to that?
Well, there's not a one of us that wouldn't benefit by a little something to zoom in. I mean, there's this brown stuff that we drink in the morning called coffee that, and sometimes mega quantities that help us wake up and pay a little bit closer attention every day. And so what happens is that I think anybody can use that line, and we just, you have to go through the proper screening to make sure it's people that really are helped by this, and that there's this thing called inattentive attention deficit as opposed to the hyperactivity, that you have kids that really do benefit tremendously by having something that helps them, and that you just you have to work through it. But for the people that drug test positive, we put them on a very short leash. They have to clean out before we'll give them more, and that we bring them back and test them again and again and again, because I just don't want to unlock something further down the road.
Dr. Thomas Epp, Central Virginia Family Physicians. The website is cvfp.net. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again very soon.
Very good.